来的日子很近了。
The day of the Lord's coming is very soon.
我想所有爱主的人看见今天在世
I
界
think
上
all
所发
those
生
who
的
love
事
the
情。
Lord and see what is happening in this world today,
你们应该在心里很清楚，
we should all be very clear
这个
in our
末世
heart.
很近了，
The
太
day of
近
the Lord's coming is very near, too near now.
了。你们要问问主吧。
You have to ask the Lord.
我们上一次说过了。
Last time we mentioned
在
it,
启示录，我再回到启示录，
that in
第一章，
Revelation, let's go back to Revelation.
2000年前，约翰在启示录说了，
Five years
因
ago,
为
John
日
said
期近了，日期
in
近了，
Revelation that the day is near.
这是2000年前
This was
约
five
翰
years
说的。
ago. I mean, 2000, sorry, it's 2000 years ago.
那现在我们是2000年后了，
Now we are 2000 years later.
所以如果我们看看彼得后书了，
And if we
第三
take a look
章，
at 2 Peter,
那有人呢在那边就在讥笑，
Some
说
people
你们
will
说主耶
laugh
稣
at us.
快来了，说了那么多年了，
You
他
say
还
that the
没有
Lord
了。
Jesus is coming and you've been saying for so many years, yet the Lord is still not
他
here.
到底是要来还是不要来
Is he coming or is he not coming yet?
啊？那你说吧，
Now tell me.
你说吧。我看见其余弟兄在那边祈求啊。那你说主耶
I
稣是不是
see,
快要来了？可
Brother
是还
Chiu
要
over
等
there.
2000年
Tell
呢，
me,
还是一千
is
年？
the Lord Jesus coming soon, or does he have to wait another 2000 years?
所以彼得就用主的话在诗篇那边
So,
说。
Peter
主
used the word in
1000年
Psalms.
就像一日而已啊，
Well, the Lord,
就是不是？而且一天在主
one
的眼
day is as a thousand,
前就等
and a
于一
thousand
天。
years as one day.
我们认识的时间跟神所算的时间是不一样
The way we count time is very different than the way God counts
的。所以
time.
从主耶稣升天。到今天，
From the time the Lord
你
Jesus
算我
ascended to
算
the
的是两
heavens
千年，
up till
那
today,
你
when
说
you and
主
I
算
count,
了，主怎
it's
么算呢？
2000 years. But when the Lord
是
counts the
今
time,
天的末后了，
it's only the end of the second day.
所以第三年很可能就是千年国度的来临
So the third day, perhaps, is the coming of the
了。那彼
millennial
得又
kingdom.
说了。在彼得后
Peter
书第三章，
also
主
said
为
in
什
2
么
Peter
不马上来
chapter
呢？
3, why does the Lord
为什么
not come right
延
away?
长这个时
Why
间呢？其实
is
彼
he
得说了，
delaying?
他延长的时间是为着我们的，
The reason he is delaying
不
is
只是
for
为
our
着我
sake,
们这一班基督徒，给我们
not
一个
only
机
for
会
us
重生。
Christians.
也是为着世上的人。神不要看见有一个人沉沦，
But it's
他要
also for the
看见
people in the world,
更
because
多的人能够
God does not want one person to perish. He wants
所以，
many more to be saved.
要不然的话，主在等什么？你说哈？
Otherwise, tell me, what is the Lord waiting for?
他是等着要看见给教会一个机会成熟。
He is waiting in order to see and also to give the church an opportunity.
所以
To
是为着
mature.
我们的救赎是为
So it's
着我们的
actually
救
for
赎。
our
我
salvation.
们需要时间成熟。
We need time to mature.
但是，我想问你，也要问自己，
But I want
我
to ask
是不
you and
是
also ask myself.
好好的用这个时间来成
Are
熟，
we
在属
utilizing
灵
this
方面
time?
能够长
In
大
a
成
good
人。
way, so that we would mature spiritually
使我
and to
们
become a
能够
full grown.
备好自己，主来的时候，我们能够进入荣耀，
so that when the
你我,
Lord
我,
returns, we can enter into glory. Do you and I have this assurance?
他如果明天来了,
那你有没有一个把握说你能够进入荣耀, 有份于那千年的国度? You will enter into glory. Enter into the millennial kingdom.
这个问题太重要了,这个问题真的是太重要了,弟兄姊妹们。
This is too important. This is very important. If you can do not enter in, what should you do? If you're not well prepared, what you're going to do then? So this evening, or this morning, I'm asking you the question, are you well prepared? Brother Kiat, do you have the assurance that if the Lord were to come tomorrow, definitely you can enter into glory and you'll be raptured? Do you have the assurance? Not really. Do you have the assurance? Tell me. It's still not prepared well. How much time do you need to prepare? Why? We're here on the earth as Christians. Some have been Christians for 30, 50 years. Was still not well prepared. Now, I'll ask the brothers and sisters, how much time do we need to prepare? In the past 60 years, we've been serving the Lord in the churches. I've seen many brothers and sisters year after year. There's not much change in them. No transformation. They remain the same. So we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves whether there's any change in our spiritual life. Be honest before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, have I changed? Not only for me personally, whether I have changed, but also ask the church where you are, is there any change in the church? The church in Singapore, the church in Bangkok, the churches in the US. Do we have any change? Are we more glorious than before? We come back to Ephesians chapter 5 once again. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. We are all very familiar with this, but let's take a look. It's verse 20-something. Let's take a look. Verse 25. Beginning with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let's read that. Now I have to ask the question. Christ gave himself for the church. How about you and I? Have we given ourselves for the church? Are you willing to deny yourself for the sake of the church? To give yourself. But we protect ourselves. We don't give ourselves. If it does not please me, then I'm not happy. There are many things at church that I'm not happy about, so I don't want it anymore. When the church needs you and you disagree with the church, then you say, okay, just forget it. You do it yourself. We need to ask our own conscience. How many times are we willing to deny ourselves for the sake of the church? Let's take a look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we people very lovable? We are sinners. We are sinners. And we've made many, many mistakes. We are not worthy. But our Lord Jesus Christ suffered so much in order to gain his church. He gave himself for her. Many times I look at myself and then I ask the Lord, Lord, I'm not worthy. Why did you pay such a high price to save a person like me? I am not worthy. Is it worthwhile? The Lord Jesus saved you and me because we're so lovable. So you love the church. Do you love the church because all the brothers and sisters are so good? If it doesn't fit your concept, it doesn't fit your inner feeling, then you say, oh, I'm not coming anymore. Tell me, in this way, how is the church supposed to be built up? Ask your children now. Ask about your children. Are they all very good children? Very obedient? Do you send them away because they're disobedient? Or as a father, do you just say, oh, I'm going to leave you all because I don't want you anymore? You love your children unconditionally. For the sake of your family and for the sake of your children, you're willing to sacrifice yourself. And how about the love of the Lord towards the church? What kind of a love is it? And what kind of a love do we have for the church? So this evening, I want to tell you, and I also want to tell myself. We say we want to build the church, right? Everyone says, I want to build the church. But we need the love Christ has for the church in order to build the church. Without this love, without such a love, the church cannot be built up. It's not whether the doctrines or the teachings are right or wrong. It's not a matter of whether they're very clear concerning the truth. But it's a question of love. Are you willing to deny or to sacrifice yourself? So the Lord Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. If you do not deny yourself, you cannot follow him. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord says, I will build my church. Build in what way? He continued to say in Matthew 16, he said, I will go on to Jerusalem. To go to Jerusalem to do what? Is it to suffer the cross, to be killed? That is the way to build the church. That's the way he builds the church. But Peter told the Lord, Lord, this cannot happen to you. Be it far from you. You are the Messiah. How can you be killed? Who is speaking there? It's the devil there speaking through Peter. Because Peter's concept is not the same as the Lord's concept. That is why the Lord followed by saying, if anyone wants to follow me, desires to follow me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Today, we, brothers and sisters, have been in the church life for many, many years. We've gone through many difficulties, right? How are you going to build? Are you just having some discussion? original. Original audio, Baba. Is it okay now? How do we deal with problems in the church life? He's speaking in English now. If we do not take the Lord's way, there's no way for us to build church.
Christ loves the church. Speak in Chinese.
Christ loves the church and he gave himself for her. This statement is too important. So it also says here, he will cleanse the church by the washing of water in the word. To sanctify the church. The church needs the living word of the Lord to wash us and to sanctify us, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. It's not by teaching the church. Oftentimes, what we share in the church does not have any water. It's quite dry. There's no spirit in our speaking. And there's no flowing out of the living water. It's we ourselves speaking, and it's not the Lord speaking through us. So 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us, that God's word did not come through man's own understanding, and we're just talking about it. And And it did not come through the will of man, what I want to say. God's word is never dependent on man's will. But it came through holy men. Holy men. And through the leading of the Holy Spirit. So in order to build the church, we need the Lord to be speaking in us. Besides, those who speak God's word has to be a holy, a sanctified person. If we do not practice sanctification, we cannot speak out God's word. So, brothers and sisters, there must be the living water flowing out in God's word. It's not that you just give a message. So here it says that he will sanctify the church by the washing of the water in the word. If you truly have the word of life, it would wash us so that we can be sanctified, that we should be holy. And also in verse 27 in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So, brothers and sisters, in the various localities, is this the kind of church that we're building today? Or it's just a church in any old way. It doesn't really matter. The church that our Lord Jesus Christ wants to gain is not just in any old church, a very loose church. He wants to present to himself a glorious church. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle. And also holy and without blemish. No oldness. It's not the same old look. It's not the old man trying to build up the new man. It's without any sickness. If the church has a lot of blemish, spots and wrinkles, and a lot of sicknesses, and yet we don't have any feeling within us concerning these things. So here, after year, the church life is just the same old thing. Year after year, it's the same old way. No change. Meaning to say, there's no life. If there's no life, there'll be no change. but that she should be holy and without blemish. This is a standard the Lord has for his church. This is a heavenly standard. But you and I just do things according to our own standard. Oh, the church is just like this. It's okay. It's okay. We're fighting with each other year after year with a lot of problems. We are not a glorious church. We are a sick church. Well, the case is much worse because although you're sick, you do not seek out the heavenly physician. If you're sick physically, you go see a doctor immediately. Right? Last 2 or 3 weeks, I was sick, so I had to go see the doctor. I says, oh, what am I sick with? Can you heal me and heal me quickly? This is how we are. But concerning the problem with the church, we do not go to the heavenly doctor. We just mess around by ourselves, and the more we mess around, the worse it gets. And the illness becomes even more serious. It's what is more unfortunate is that our children, the next generation, continue in the same way. You do not weep for the church. We don't go to our heavenly doctor. Our Lord Jesus is a heavenly physician. We have to go to him. Fast and pray and tell the Lord, Lord, save us. Brothers and sisters, especially those who are elders and those who are taking responsibility in the church, how often do you go before the Lord to weep? How often do you come before the Lord to fast and pray and to weep and repent and say, Lord, you have to come save the church? I cannot normalize the church, but you are the doctor, you're the physician, and the church is your body, Lord. And if we're sick and you do not come heal us, how do we survive? The Lord wept for Jerusalem. He wept for the sinners. Have you ever wept for the saints and for the church in your locality? To intercede and pray before the Lord. It says, Lord, don't you want to gain a glorious church? We have no way, but you must have a way, but because you are the Almighty God. You want to gain a church without blemish, a glorious church. It's holy and without blemish. Tell me, does he have the assurance that he can reach his goal? Yet he does not force us. He does not force any one of us. Oftentimes, I wish that the Lord would just force it upon us. But he does not do that. So if we go back to Revelation, to the seven churches there, and take a look at what the Lord said to those seven churches there. He said such a serious word, yet they still did not listen to him. I don't think that the Lord's word can be any more serious than what he spoke to the seven churches there. So if we do not listen to him, tell me, what can he do? He just lets us go, right? So we go back to the seven churches that we fellowshiped about the last time. What the Lord really wants, what the main thing that the Lord wants, is like a church in Philadelphia. You all understand the significance or the meaning of the church in Philadelphia. What does it mean, Brother Doyon? Philadelphia is brotherly love. Is a church where the brothers love one another. We not only need to love the Lord, actually, the love of the Lord, the love you have for the Lord is expressed by the love you have for the brothers in your heart. Because 1 John tells us, you and I, if we cannot love the brothers we can see, how can you see? How can you love a God whom you cannot see? The brothers are right before your eyes. You see them every day and you don't love them. How can you love the God whom you cannot see? That love is a very strange kind of love. So the first church in Revelation in chapter 2, the church in Ephesus, they left the first love, the best love for the Lord. If we have left our first love for him, then there's no way for you to love the brothers. This also matches with what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter gave us 7 stages of our growth. Right? From, so does that add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control? Self-control. And then there's perseverance. And after that is godliness. And then brotherly love. And the highest stage is love, the love of God. So brotherly love needs to come first. In these 7 levels or 7 stages, you firstly have to have brotherly love before you can reach the next, the final level, which is the love of God. So brotherly love has to come first. So you see, the church that the Lord wants to gain for herself, himself, is a church in Philadelphia. One says, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But the true love for the Lord is reflected in a brotherly love. Otherwise, you say you love the Lord, but nobody knows whether you really love the Lord. I've never seen a Christian who told me, I don't love the Lord. Have you seen a brother who told you, I don't love the Lord? Everyone says, oh, I love the Lord. I really love the Lord. But you cannot see his love for the brothers. To the extent that he even hates the brothers. He says, fighting with the brothers. And also scolding the brothers. And criticizing the brothers. And not being able to get along with one another. And then they also form, so to say, like gangs, you know. So we need to repent. We truly need to repent. We have to be an overcomer. Why should we be an overcomer? Because within the church, not everyone wants to obey the Lord's word. But we all need an ear that would hear the Spirit speaking to the churches. And to be able to say, Amen, Lord, I want to obey, hear and obey your word. I'd like to ask the churches in Thailand, each church have to make a choice before the Lord. The church that the Lord loves is a church in Philadelphia. Besides, the Lord wants to let those in the church in Philadelphia, you know, let others know that those who are fake ones, those who say they are Jews but are liars, I want them to know that I have loved you. A mature church should be a mature church should be a church in which the brothers love one another and are built together. It's not that easy, but you have to go before the Lord and tell them. Tell the Lord. Lord, we want for you to gain a glorious church in Bangkok. This should be the way it is. So last time, when we shared regarding the church in Philadelphia, we mentioned Eliakim, Christ is the one that God has set up to be Lord over all things in the church. That means all things belong to him. Because he is the head of the church and he is head of all things. All things depend on him. He has the key of David. If he does not open the door, you can do nothing. If it's not his work, nothing works. Nothing counts. Whatever is man's work, sooner or later, it will collapse. All things need to depend on him. The golden lampstand. And you have read Zechariah chapter 4 regarding the golden lampstand many times, right? with regard to the important vision of the golden lampstand in Zechariah. How did the angel explain to Zechariah? Here we go, take a look at Zechariah chapter 4. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. The angel asked Zechariah, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a lampstand of solid gold." Just like how John saw the seven golden lampstands in Revelation. Now, if you see the golden lampstand, what is your understanding? Now, if you see this vision, what are your thoughts? Zechariah did not know. The angel asked him, "What are these? What is the meaning of it?" He says, "No, I don't know. Do you know what these are?" Zechariah said, "No, my Lord." Because whatever we think we know is actually wrong. What I can grasp or understand through my human or natural wisdom is all wrong. So the angel says, "Okay, since you don't know, so he said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." What is that word? "Not by might, nor by power." Not by might, nor by power. Not based on your talent, but by my spirit. If you want to build a golden lampstand based on your own talent, or it cannot be based on your own talent or based on your own assets and power, but it has to be through by God. If you do not have the Spirit of God, nothing works. It's not by our discussion of which way is better. How should we do this or that, etc.? No, no. So if we're just discussing, having discussions there and arguing with one another, there's no way for it to work. So we all need to see the vision in Zechariah chapter 4. It's by my spirit. Then that will work. If we rely on other things, whether it be our talent or our money or the influence of man, none of that will work. You cannot accomplish God's will through those things. I think after going through the church life for so many years, it's been quite a few decades. It's 40, 50 years. What can we do? What have we accomplished? We did so much work. We used so many methods. In the end, what is the end result? I see Emma over there. What is the end result? Is it a glorious church? No. Then we have to ask a big question. Why not? It's been so many years. Yet we have accomplished nothing. We don't have a glorious church. But yet we have a messy church, a jumble mumble church. Tell me, aren't we a very sad, a pathetic people? And if we still do not repent, what should we do? Isn't that right, brothers and sisters? Do you not agree with me? We have to repent. So many times, the Lord Jesus told them in the book of Revelation to those seven churches that they have to repent. They have to repent. If you repent and continue to build the glorious church, then you will gain a reward. We are all smart people. No one wants to receive God's judgment, but we all desire to get the reward that God has for us. What is the promise of the reward for the church in Philadelphia? It's that they will be saved from the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, the great day of God's wrath. This point is way too important. We all know that the Lord is coming quickly, and when he comes, what happens? He says, they will be saved from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole earth. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. This is a very serious word. You have to remember this. Keep this in your heart. This is way too important. The Lord said to them, because you have kept my command to persevere. You'll read it in Thai. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The last 3.5 years are coming very soon. The hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, is coming very soon. If you do not want to go through that trial, if you pray that the Lord would preserve you from the hour of trial, then you have to be an overcomer. And you need to have a good part in the building up of the church in Philadelphia. Besides, you need perseverance. God's word needs for us to keep it with perseverance. Do not give up so easily. Up comes a little problem and then you want to give up. A little bit of testing comes around and you want to give up. There may be a little bit of suffering and you'll say, I quit. Our faith needs to be tried by fire. We need to go through testing. If a Christian life has not been tested, has not gone through some tests, that Christian cannot mature. If you're not chastened by the Lord, then the Lord doesn't love you because he doesn't even chasten you. Our faith needs to be tried by fire. After going through the fire, then it will be more precious than pure gold. If the Christian life and the church life does not go through any suffering, it doesn't work. Paul said the same thing. We have to go through many sufferings in order to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Peter said the same thing. If our faith has not been tried, you don't know whether your faith is real or it's not real. Because our person is too complicated. Although God has given us a very precious faith, if we don't mingle it with faith, you know, sometimes I have the faith, sometimes I don't, then this faith doesn't work. That is why we all have to be tried, be tested. We can all testify. You have been Christians for so many years. You must have gone through a lot of testing too, a lot of trials. Do you treasure those trials? Those testing? The church life, the personal life, your whole family life, if it has not been tested, how can we grow? Let's read a verse here. Let's first go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. First Peter 2:21. I firstly ask you a question. Have you been called? Jemima, have you been called? Yes? If you've not been called, you won't be here today. We all have been called, right? And what does Peter say? Do-Yong would read it in Thai. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Amen. So for to this you were called. There's a way for us to go on. What is the way? Because Christ also suffered for us. Is that good enough? It's good enough that he suffered and we don't need to suffer? At Baoling, is it good enough that Christ suffered so we don't have to suffer? So because Christ suffered, Deryong doesn't have to suffer. We also need to suffer. We all say, oh, he suffered for us and we don't need to suffer. That's a wrong concept. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Do you treasure or appreciate this example or not? Beginning from today, including myself, we all need to treasure this example. He left us an example. I have to ask you all, do you have such a concept? Oh, we all say, oh, he died on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord. But we do not have the thought. Very few people have the concept that his suffering for us is to leave us an example. An example. The example is way too important. Besides, it's so that we should follow his steps. Step by step, to follow him ahead. The entire life of the Lord Jesus is to accomplish the Father's will through many sufferings. And he attained to the glory. This is what Hebrews chapter 12 tells us. This is the way to enter into glory, and we have to follow his footsteps to get there. In Revelation chapter 14, the first fruits were those who followed the Lamb wherever he went, wherever the Lamb goes. So if we're not willing to follow his example, and follow his footsteps step by step, there's no way for us to enter into the glory. If you have a better way than this, please let me know. I think you cannot find another way in God's word, right, brothers and sisters? So right now, we are still left with a very short period of time. So we should take this opportunity and repent. The Lord Jesus did say a word, the last shall be first. Until today, the Lord has shown us the way to go. Not just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. No, no. Not enjoyment, but suffering. Would you like to enjoy, or would you like to suffer? Besides, the brothers who are elders, you should lead by example. Be a person who is willing to go through suffering, like Christ, who entered into glory. All the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ all went through the same way to enter into glory, and they entered into glory. Each one of them was a martyr. They all went through suffering to enter into glory. Compared to their suffering, our sufferings are much, much less. It's much more, much easier. So may the Lord open our eyes. Through the love of the Lord, to love the brothers, love the church, willing to deny ourselves, willing to go through suffering, willing to suffer for the sake of the body of Christ. And lastly, let's look at one verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Brother Doyoung will read it in Thai. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Are you willing? Amen. Elders, are you willing? Is it good? Amen. Thank the Lord. If we agree with this from our heart, that we be like Paul, suffer for the sake of the church, and not suffering in a bitter way, but he says, rejoicing in my sufferings for you. It's suffering with a willing heart. And loving the church and loving the brothers and sisters with the love of Christ. It's for the sake of Christ's body, which is the church. And what Paul said is really too precious. He says, to fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Because today is not here in the flesh. Today he's seated on the throne in his glory. Today it's our turn. It's a turn of the apostles. It's the turn of the brothers, of the responsible ones. To fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So may the Lord really open us up that we get this so that we would know how we can build his glorious church. Time's up. Let's have some prayer. Amen. May the Lord strengthen us even more. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord teach us how to suffer together with you, to fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ.
Amen.
That we can really rejoice in our sufferings for the sake of the church.
Yeah, amen.
So that we would have part in your glorious church and bless your word.
Amen.
We do thank the Lord for what you have shared to us through the brother today, and to bless all the members of the church.
Amen.
Thank you for your blessing.
Right, Lord. Amen.